Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Best of King, in which we feature highlights of recent Larry King shows that you just may have missed. Please remember, as we go along, that this is a highlight program. That is, you are hearing tapes of previous shows. So when you hear phone numbers mentioned, please do not call in. We will be back live Monday night, Tuesday morning, with the start of another great week of guests and open phones. Right now, just relax and enjoy The Best of King. We'll meet the great Jimmy Stewart, a legend in American film and theater, and five of his great films have been released by MCA for home video consumption. Jimmy will be talking with us from our Westwood One studios in Los Angeles. We welcome to our microphones, and indeed a great pleasure to welcome to our microphones from our Westwood One studios in Los Angeles, the great Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy, this is Larry King in Washington. It's an honor to have you on this program.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor for me to be here.
How you feel? You sound like the Jimmy Stewart of old. How do you feel?
Well, I feel pretty good, considering.
The alternative.
In the last few years, I have to sort of add that when somebody asks how I feel.
Was there ever a chance that you were going to be an architect?
I think so. Up after I graduated, I was sure I was going to be an architect. As a matter of fact, I had a scholarship to go to graduate school and get my master's in architecture. But through a whole lot of things, I got mixed up with acting in the summer between the time I graduated and the time I was going to graduate school. And that acting bug, when it bites you, it really bites you.
The late Henry Fonda told many stories about you. Are there no regrets over not? Do you still look at buildings and say how you would have designed them?
Not so much how I would have designed them, but I think the studying of architecture and everything made me a critic. I don't think about that, but I just say, that's wrong, I think, or that's very good, and so on.
We will discuss these films. First of all, what do you think, Jimmy, of this revolution that's occurred in this business of the home video field?
Well, I just think that it's something that has developed. I think... going way back to radio, going way back before radio to the stage, and before I think it's a development. It's something new.
Do you like it?
Yes, I think it's going to take its place as a very important part of show business in general.
The five films released by MCA that are now available to home video fans, of which there are growing by thousands daily for either purchase or rental, are The Glenn Miller Story, The Rare Breed, Bend of the River, Thunder Bay, and Winchester 73. Tell me about that Glenn Miller role. First, did you play that instrument?
No, I have to admit that I didn't play the instrument, but I was... I knew this was going to be a problem, and a couple of months before the picture started, I got to know Joe Euchel, who was a very fine trombone player and was in all sorts of orchestras out here for background music and so on in the movies, and he was delighted to get with me and solve this problem. What are we going to do about me playing a trombone and I don't play a trombone?
So and all of your... Sorry, go ahead. All of your movements had to be correct even though the sound wasn't coming out, right?
Well, this is what we finally decided because At first, Joe said, "Well, I think you'll be able to do this all right. It's really not a hard instrument, and I'll learn in. You can do this movie, and then you can be a trombone player beside." And we practiced for a couple of days, and then he came to me and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to quit." And I said, "What's the matter, Joe?" And he said, "Well, the sound that comes out of the horn when you blow it has so disturbed me." He said, "I kicked my dog last night, but the first time I've ever kicked my dog, and I yelled at my wife, and I can't sleep, so I'll just have to bow out of this." But I really wanted his help, and I just threw in something that I thought. I said, why don't we put a plug in the mouthpiece so that it's impossible for me to make any sound with it, and go from there?" And he said, "I never thought of that." And I said, "Let's." So we went from there, and we went. We almost did a sort of a musical score. Only the notes were positions on the slide of the trombone.
Was that one of your happier efforts, making that movie?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much because I've always been a big band favorite. I grew up with the sound of Glenn Miller and Tommy Dorsey and Cab Calloway and Duke Ellington, and I've never forgotten that. And it's such a wonderful thing to see that the big band has never gone out of style and is still very popular now.
Our guest is Jimmy Stewart. Five of his films are now available in home video. By the way, the Glenn Miller story has been completely restored with a new stereo surrounding soundtrack. We'll talk about that and other things. Then you'll get the opportunity to talk with Jimmy Stewart as well. The other titles released are The Rare Breed, Bend of the River, Thunder Bay, and Winchester 73. Back with Jimmy Stewart after the... It should surprise no one that all of our phone lines are blinking in this special and rather wonderful appearance by Jimmy Stewart. And since he's with us for only an hour earlier, hour of the program, we'll be going to calls a little earlier than usual. So if you're getting a ring, we'll get to you as quickly as possible. Have you heard, Jimmy, the new stereo wraparound they did for the Glenn Miller story?
Well, as a matter of fact, when we first made the picture in the early 50s, there was a stereo track made, and this was when stereo was just getting started, but there was a stereo track made, and when the picture was previewed down at Long Beach, they used the stereo with the speakers in the theater, and it really was something. But the studio decided that it would be too expensive in those days, because the speaker system was pretty complicated, and it'd be too expensive to have this in all the theaters, so that they took the stereo track off, and it was just on regular sound for for the years that it yeah. played. They decided to try the stereo in this re-release, but nobody could find it. And how it finally worked out, that it was discovered in the Decca vault in Chicago. Evidently, the stereo track had been sold, and Decca had made records of it, and it was found, and it was sort of brought up to date and used in this Glenn Miller.
The other releases are Bend of the River, Thunder Bay, Winchester 73, and The Rare Breed. We're going to be going to your calls because we have limited time only in this first hour with Jimmy Stewart, and we know so many Americans want to get the opportunity to talk with a legend in their own time. I have two quick questions. Working with Frank Capra, what was that like?
Well, that Frank is just is my favorite man. Frank gave me the real chance. I admire his work more than I can say. I think Frank had sort of qualities that were very very wonderful and sort of his own. Frank had great feeling about family and home, love of community, love of God, love of country, and all those values he was very proud of and had, and he was able to get those values up on the screen without preaching. So his pictures could get these things to the audience, but without preaching to them, and get them to, and he had great humor, and he was the best.
Yeah, you're right, and it's a quality that he gave us in films that we took with us in growing up, didn't it? I mean, he forged a value system for this country.
I think you're right. I believe that very firmly.
Hitchcock
here, I just about as near to genius as you can get. He, as far as mysteries, as far as suspense is concerned, he was a vision man, sort of a visual man, sort of like John Ford and Hitchcock.
Did you think, Jimmy, that Rear Window would work, having you in one room for the whole movie?
Well, it really scared me when I got there and read the script and so on and realized that. But having Hitchcock do it, I had complete faith in him that the things would work out all right.
All right, we're ready to go to your phone calls for Jimmy Stewart. This is a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We'll get to as many calls as we can. We'll ask you to please ask one question, and so that we can reach as many people as possible. Remember, the Glenn Miller story is now available in home video with a new stereo wraparound from MCA. Also, the rare breed Bend of the River, Thunder Bay, and Winchester 73. We go to Youngstown, Ohio for Jimmy Stewart. Hello.
Mr. Stewart. Very few people can imagine what a thrill this is for me to speak with you. What I'd like to know is, a couple of years ago, I sent a still photo to you of Elwood Dowd looking at Elwood and Harvey that's mounted on the mantle from the film, and I had you autograph it. And I just wonder, do you get a lot of fan mail? Does it come directly to your home, letters such as mine? And do you answer the letters personally, or do you have people do that for you?
No, I answer the letters personally. It doesn't come to my home. It comes to an office that I have. But I answer the letters personally, and I autograph the pictures personally.
Portsmouth, Virginia, for Jimmy Stewart.
Morning, Larry. General Stewart, it is indeed a pleasure to talk to you. We had a picture taken together. If you remember Strategic Air Command, the movie, with General LeMay. I was the engineer on that C-97.
What's the question? Do you have a question?
Just make a statement, Larry. I had the pleasure to have my picture taken with General Stewart. He's a general in the Air Force, and I retired master sergeant from there.
Thank you. Baltimore, Maryland. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
It's an honor to talk with you, Mr. Stewart. I think you're one of America's greatest actors. My question for you, sir, how do you feel about the colorization of your movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and the whole process in general? Thank you.
Yeah, good question.
Well, it's my favorite picture. It's, and I know it's Frank Capra's favorite picture.
And my favorite.
It just has something special about it that it's my favorite.
Now, there is some dispute over coloring these pictures. When we did a program with the folks from studios that have done a lot of colorization, there was some callers saying that these are vintage black and white and should not be technicolored. What are your thoughts?
I think those are the exact words that I used when I was talking about it. I don't like the idea at all. I don't know how much trouble I'm going to get in by taking this stand, but I think black and white should be left the way it is. I think when you think about the time and the effort and the ability that was put into these black and white films by cameramen and people with lights and to get the right shadows, to get a sort of a feeling of dimension for the scene, and then scatter the whole thing with color. I just don't think it's right.
But Jimmy,
Yeah.
No, that's a strong opinion, and I fully understand it. There are a lot of people who regard that as kind of a bastardization of what was an original classic.
No, I just feel that the black and white was a part of the picture business, and that it should be left just like they're not trying to put words in the silent pictures. I'm certainly grateful for that. Why don't they leave the black and white pictures alone?
With Jimmy Stewart, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hello.
Mr. Stewart, it's a thrill speaking to you. I'd like to know who your favorite leading ladies were and what it was like working with Betty Davis just here a few years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, that question's a very dangerous one to answer. But I'll just say, you mentioned Betty Davis. We'd all been, the both of us have been out here for a long time and had never worked together, and it was a great, great experience for me. She's really a wonderful actress and a very fine person. And Donna Reed was a wonderful person to work. Ginger Rogers.
June Allison. Arthur, you're perfect.
June Allison was in Strategic Air Command with me and the Glenn Miller story. There are a lot of others.
We're going to get you in trouble if you have to single out a few.
As I say, I don't want to sort of narrow it down just to one, because that'll get me in trouble.
Duluth, Minnesota with Jimmy Stewart. Hello.
Hello, Jimmy Stewart. Steve Simon from Duluth, Minnesota. Got a question for you about censorship. As you know, there have been recent efforts, I guess renewed efforts, in our country. Censorship, both records and news today on the AP wire about the censorship of movies. What's your personal stand about censorship?
Well, I've always felt that in my first years out here in the movies in the 30s, in the early 30s, there was censorship. There was the Breen office, where you could do certain things you could do, certain things you couldn't do. At that time, I didn't feel that censorship interfered with the getting stories, getting scenes done the way the director wanted them, the way you wanted to do them as an actor. I was never conscious of this. And in a way, I think censorship has a value. And I don't exactly see why it's objected to by so many people.
The value being?
Well, the value is it gives a sort of a discipline, in a way, to the making of motion pictures. And I don't see anything wrong with that.
Our guest is the great Jimmy Stewart. We have a half hour to go with Jimmy. We're going to pause for news headlines and a word from your local stations. We'll get through as many callers as possible. Again, MCA has released for home video the Glenn Miller story, an Academy Award-winning motion picture, by the way, plus the rare breed, Bend of the River, Thunder Bay, and Winchester 73. They all feature Stewart in classic roles, action, adventure, suspense, romance, and they're available for purchase or rental. Our guest is the great Jimmy Stewart. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations. We'll be right back with more calls for Jimmy Stewart. I'm Larry King, and this is the Mutual Broadcasting System.